warmed up the chair. Good morning, everyone. Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov. We are in the midst here in Israel of a very big debate, thank you, on what's called the Chok HaGiur, the conversion bill. I'm not getting into the details this morning. I'm sure you all have your opinions about it. What I would like to deal with is one specific ramification of the debate. And that is articles, or to be more precise, I would say opinion pieces, written by certain rabbis who believe that they have the entire truth on their side. To the extent that they say whoever cares about Torah is going to be that person who's going to be against the bill, and whoever doesn't care about Torah implication is for the bill. And whoever wants to continue the masoret of the Jewish people is either for or against the bill, and vice versa. First of all, that language is out of place. That's not the way to have a healthy debate. Beit Shammai never spoke that way to Beit Hillel. Rabina and Ravashi, when they had a debate, never spoke that way. No one said to each other, I care about Torah and you don't. That whole debate should be out of debates between religious Jews that debate with each other in a dignified fashion. But there's a second problem I have with all of this. And that is that I believe that there's been a blur between what I call halacha and Torah, and opinions. Now, a rabbi can have a halachic opinion. And if you ask him a halachic shayla, and he gives you an halachic answer on your halachic shayla, you must listen to him. That's the halacha that's paskin in your Yoredeya. To the extent that you can't go in psak shopping and ask for another answer from a different rabbi. But if you ask the rabbi his opinion on a politician, or what he thinks of the street sign, what he thinks of the lighting in the park, and the rabbi says his opinion, is that a halachic opinion? No. I would like to suggest that not only isn't it, but I find it disturbing, and I find it very, very, I would say, corroding to the human dignity that in the past generations, recently, people go to rabbis on everything. Should I marry this girl? What do I do about this? We have lost our self-confidence that we should have. It says in Pirkei Avos, I'm reading in the book now on page 160, Yudah ben Tema Omer, Mishnah Mesach in Pirkei Avos, Havi askan amer vekal kaneshe veraske tzvi vigibor ka'ari, ralasot ritzon avicha shebashamayim. You have to be strong, like a tiger. You have to be very firm in your ways, using analogies from the animal world, when it comes to being a religious Jew. It's not always in fashion to be a religious Jew. It's not always easy to keep kashrus. It's not always easy to be honest in business. But we have to go ahead and do our best in order to stay firm in our religion and in our ways. But does that mean that we have to ask the rabbi for everything? Who to vote for? Whether to get a flu shot should I take out? I find it very disturbing. First of all, as Rav Amital points out here on page 160, every day at night in davening, we daven that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the proper etza. The proper, what's an etza?
Advice.
Where do we say it? Very good. Where is that? V'takenenu be'itza tova milfanecha. And may you fix us, or to be more precise, may you point us to have the right advice. The right advice. We daven for it every single night. Well, if you're going to run to rabbis, why do you have to daven? Maybe you should go ahead and say, hey, God, maybe itakneinu la'rava tov milfanecha. Send me to the right rabbi who has the right answer. If I have to run to the rabbi for everything, then why do you have to itakneinu beitza tova milfanecha? My wife asked me to wash the dishes. I'll ask the rabbi. I don't need you to point me in the right direction. Number two. 1 second. Tachonein la'adam da'at. Correct. Correct. Number two, historically, people would come and say it all started from the Hasidim. The Hasidim run to their rebbes, they ask for everything. Well, allow me to quote page 160. from a very known Hasidic Rebbe, known as the Admor HaZaken, the old Admor. Who is the Admor HaZaken? The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman from Ladi. He writes in his Igrot HaKodesh the following. Because I love you so much, allow me to hit you over the head a little bit. Has there ever been such a situation, such a custom, listen carefully, Hasidic Rebbe, in any of the books of the Rishonim or the Achronim, liyot min hag v'tikun, there should be such a custom, lishol be'etza gashmiyut kedat ma lasot b'nyanei olam gashmi, that you ask a rabbi for things that have to do with life. Af l'gadadu Yisrael, chachmei Yisrael, rishonim ketanayim v'amoraim. Even the tanayim v'amoraim, ashel koraz lo anas lehu, min hirin lehu shvile dirakia, they were able to pierce the seventh heaven. Ki im l'nivim ma'ash, ashayim lifnim Yisrael, kishmuel ha'oreh, except for Nevi'im, ki be'emet kol inyanei adam, levad midivrei Torah, ve'yirat shamayim, einei musagim rak menevurah, ve'lo lachachamim. We do have an institution of Nevi'im. So if Shaul is looking for his lost sheep, he goes and asks Shmuel the Navi. And as you all know the story, he looked for sheep and he found what?
David.
Kingship, not David. He became the king. David's not in the picture yet. But if you don't have a Navi, who the in God's name said? Let the Chachamim have the answer. Should I vote left or right? Who says the Chachamim have the answer? Who's saying all this? A Hasidic Rebbe. The first Hasidic Lubavitcher Rebbe says, where have you found such an outrageous custom that you go and you ask a Rebbe about things that have to do with life? Hakol b'yedei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim. Everything's in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. V'shivat rachim uchasim. En adam yodeh b'mem istakeo. Machut beit David matay tachzor v'chulei. The Gemara goes on and says, you don't know when Mashiach is going to come, and you don't know when this is going to happen, and shomer p'tayim, Hashem, if I can add to it, God knows the secret, you don't. So, as you could see, a Talmid Mufak of the Baal Shem Tov, three generations later, is screaming at his chassidim, why are you coming to me to ask me, should I buy a Volvo or a Mercedes? Why are you coming to me to ask if I should marry this girl or that girl? This never happened. This wasn't part of our custom. Look in all the books of the Rishonim and the Achronim. This is not part of our customs. And Rav Amital goes on and quotes a Gemara. Now you may not like this Gemara, it's politically incorrect maybe to say it, but a Gemara it is and we have to learn it. Yoma Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, 71a. See, I love when I say it in English. It sounds better. Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, people get mixed up. 71a, you got it. Elechem Ishim Ekra. To you, I call out, Mishle, Amar Rav Berchia, said Rav Berchia. Elu Talmidei Chachamim, Shedomin L'Nashim, Vosin Vuraka Anashim. These are Talmidei Chachamim that are like women, but are strong like men. Explains Rashi. How are they like women? Anvetanin v'tshushei koach. Anvetanin means they're very humble. And they as if have no koach. They have no power. So we know that physically many a times, not all the time, men are stronger than women. And we know most of the time that men have a bigger mouth than women. So Rashi says, how are they like women? They're very humble. I say it's a politically incorrect. I warned you. Used to is correct. The Gemara is giving an analogy. That's why I said it's politically incorrect. So, how exactly the Gemara says that they're like women, but they have gevurah, they're strong like men, courage like men. How are they like men? They're humble. They don't go out and go ahead and have big mouths. That's a very good trait that the Gemara says they're like women. But they have gvura ka'anashim. What's gvura and courage ka'anashim, like men?
To bear children.
No. Really men, as far as I know, can't bear children. What's Gvura Ka'anashim? Explains Rav Amital, they have an ability to take their own decisions. They're not loudmouths. They learn the best traits from women. They go ahead and they're humble. They go ahead and they don't have big mouths. They go ahead and they don't make themselves known. What we call tznius proper. Tznius doesn't mean the length of your shirt, but rather to be tsanua, to be humble. But they have vuraka nashim. They have self-confidence that they should have. That's a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is not one that runs to his Rebbe every time he has a problem. A Talmud Chacham is not one that on speed dial, he always calls someone. A Talmud Chacham is not one that goes to the supermarket and I always think he has a neck problem. You ever see those guys with the neck problems in the supermarket? There's two kinds of people with neck problems. Neck problems. They're walking around like this. You ever seen that? You've seen the neck problems? So first of all, I don't understand with the invention of the Bluetooth, why do you need to have the neck problem? But they're walking around like that. Now, if they're walking around like that because their wife is telling them what to buy, gesinte hate. You're a good man, you're listening to your wife. Binayate Rabban Banashim. I believe in Chazal. But if you're walking around, and I've seen this many times, and I've got SMSs from the supermarket, is this Heksha good? Is that Heksha good? Which Heksha should I buy? Where's your self-confidence? Whatever happened to the self-confidence that a Jew should have? Every little tiny thing, from the smallest to the biggest, you go ahead and you ask a Rav. So we see that the first Lubavitcher Rebbe screamed against it. And Rav Amital dug up a Gemara in Yuma that says, a true Talmid Chacham is one that takes the best traits from women, being humble, not showing off, and on the other hand has self-confidence. More than that. We have psukim in the Torah that warn us against going to sorcerers. You know those psukim? Going to witchcraft, going to sorcerers, things like that. Lo yimatzebecha ma'avir b'no, right? Kosem kesamim, onein, menachesh, megadef. Going to all these sorcerers that go ahead, and genies, that go ahead and, so to speak, portray the future. Finally, after the Torah says, you're not allowed to go to all these, it ends, and the Aliyah ends, Parshat Re'eh. I think it's Parshat Re, maybe it's Parshat Shoftim. Anyone remember? Is there a Baal Korah here? Tamim tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Anyone want to translate those words? That's how the Aliyah ends. Tamim tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha. What's tamim? And don't say naive, that's not nice. Okay, Parshat Re, excuse me, Parshat Shoftim. Nu tamim tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha.
Complete.
Complete. Says Rashi, Hitalechimo bitmimut, vetetzapelo, walk with God. What's bitmimut? Maybe fully. Yaakov ishtam, fully. Vetetzapelo, and wait for him. Velotach korachara atidot. And don't go ahead and try to portray and prophesize the future. Ela kol mashiavo elecha, kabel bitmimut, vaz tiyayimo ulchalko. Whatever comes upon you, accept completely, and that's what it means to be with God. So how does the Torah define tamim tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha, be complete with God? I'll say it in my language. Being complete with God means walking with God with self-confidence. Not, I'm going to outsmart God. So I'm going to go to a Rebbe who's going to tell me that if you do this and that, this is what's going to happen. Invest in this stock, that's what's going to happen. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha is be human. Use your atachonein la'adam da'at that Rabbi Yedidyahu just pointed out. Pray for takneinu be'itzah tova milfanecha. And make the best decision about life. You have a halachic shayla, go to a Rav. You have a problem with yirat shamayim, go to a Rav. You want to consult with a very smart individual. And you hold your rabbi to be a bright individual. Go right ahead. But make a distinction. There's a psak halacha. And there's an opinion. And when you mix the two. A. The Lubavitcher Rebbe the first will scream at you. B. You're not acting like a Talmid Chacham as the Gemara in Yuma says. And C. You're not being tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. You're trying to outsmart God. You're not walking with God. You're going ahead and outsmarting God. And ultimately, you have to have the ability to to take your decisions yourself. And therefore, I'm very disturbed that when rabbis come out, and I'm not talking about halacha, I'm talking about going out and making opinions on political issues like the conversion bill, which has halachic ramifications, but that's not what they're dealing with. They go ahead and they said, if you're for the bill, which is against my opinion, then you're not a good Jew. Because my, I'm going to use a term, Das Torah says that, no, Das Torah never existed.
Wait a second.
To the extent that it didn't exist till the 20th century, and therefore Agudas Yisrael made it up, and therefore, gentlemen, I believe that if there's one thing we have to tell our children and tell our neighbors is, A, make a distinction between halacha and life. Halacha lives with life, and you have to ask a rav sometimes what to do when there is a conflict, or you think there's a conflict, between what halacha demands and commands of you and life. The vicissitudes of life. B, if there's a decision you have to make that's not halacha per se, and you want to consult with a rav, I'm the last person to stand in your way. But make sure you call it a consultation. Do not call it a halachic opinion, a das Torah. And see, if you run to a rav for everything, if you have that neck problem, or you have carpal tunnel syndrome because all you're doing all day is SMSing your rav on every little thing, then A, the Lubavitcher Rebbe the first screams at you. B, you're not what the Gemara in Yuma calls a Talmid Chacham, shedomim lanashim v'onsim gvura ka'anashim. And C, you're not tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. You're trying to outsmart God. Questions? Yes.
Accepting what you said, can you please explain why all the members of the Jewish Home, except Naftali Bennett, abstained from voting at the first reading of the bill? That they couldn't take them?
I'll be happy after the shiur to explain politically how I understand the politics. But I will explain it not as a rabbi, but rather as a regular citizen of the state of Israel and what's happening. I'll be happy to explain it in a minute. So we'll finish the shiur and I'll explain it. Yes.
Yeah, you raised the concept, which is rather recent, of Das Torah.
Yes.
When I taught in the high school at Taos many years ago, I discovered that Das Torah was more important than halacha to the boys there. Everything was Das Torah. And I did a little research, and I discovered that relatively recent, with the Hirschians in Germany in the 19th century, the concept first appeared. And I went to Rav Granitstein, who...
I put it a little later.
No. He did research for his doctoral dissertation, and he placed it clearly there. And we
okay.
Had a discussion.
Good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But
Rabbi Lamb puts in 1860 with the best in the bells.
Okay, so that's 19th century. Okay, but a different location.
But I want to say I want to just say that Das Torah may have existed, but I would say it was popularized. But you guys just said by Agudas Yisrael in the 20th century, to the extent that people that lived this way, the way I just described, and not with this Das Torah concept. When they were asked questions, their answer was always, oh, I lived before Das Torah. For example, Rav Zelig Epstein was speaking about that during the World War II, we shouldn't know from such things, when there was such hester upon him. So they had to make a decision. Do they take the visa and leave Vilna and go to Shanghai, like the Mir Yeshiva did, or not? And the majority of the Russian Yeshiva said, don't take the visa. Stay here. And we all know that the majority of those that didn't, those that didn't listen to the rabbis, the majority were saved. And those that did listen to the rabbis, the majority were killed. So they asked Rav Zelig Epstein, this is all alleged, this is a story I heard, you didn't listen to the Das Torah. So he said, no, this is before Das Torah.
Yeah. You know, when
My Rebbe Rav Amital also said he grew up in Hungary, Chasam Sofer, everything that went into the Hungary, and ultimately fighting against the Reform, he never, growing up, heard the word Das Torah even once. And he grew up in Hungary in the 20th century.
Yeah.
So ultimately, gentlemen, it's a brand new concept. If you want to live that way, You can live that way. I find it very problematic, as I said, from the three reasons I said I went and quoted here. Now, you can come along and say, well, that was then, but today we've lost our self-confidence. Look at what's happening in the world, the internet, all these terrible things that are influencing us. We need the Rabbanim to tell us what to do from morning to night. First of all, it's always been terrible. Every generation, you want to look at speeches of Rabbanim that say, this is the worst generation ever. Look what's happening now. There's a train. The train can get you from here to there so fast. Oy, what you could see on a train. So such a thing I don't necessarily stand for. There's always been aspirations that were not what we call Torahdik. Okay? The Agedat Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Aroma, I believe 12th century, 13th century, talks about Jews that went to a house of ill refute and they wanted to put it under his hashgacha. So he said, what do you mean hashgacha? He said, listen, the Jews are going to the house of ill refute, that's what's happening. So instead of them doing an aveira, why don't you make every woman there, every prostitute, into a pilegish, a concubine. So you'll put the house of ill refute under hashgacha. I don't want to even quote his answer to them. But he threw them out of the house head first, as any rabbi should. So to say that today's the worst generation, no, no, it's not the worst generation, first of all. There's always been aspirations on every side. There's always been influences that have been trying to influence us. And as I started this year, Have Azkan Amer, Kal Kanesh, Araska Tzvi, Gibor Ka'ari, Letzon Letzon Avicha Shabashamayim, still remains true. It's not easy, and it's difficult. And maybe nowadays, because it's not easy and difficult, people feel they need externals, such as Hasidic or black and white clothing. Fine, fine. That's your decision. But one thing can't change, in my opinion, and that is if you don't have the ability to make your own decisions on non-halachic matters, you have lost your self-confidence, and it won't last. Because there'll be that time where your rabbi is not available on an SMS. There'll be that time when ultimately there's going to be between a rock and a hard place, and you have no time. And I've seen situations in hospitals here in Israel where they say we need to do emergency surgery, and a woman or a man refuses until his rav tells him he's allowed him. Doctors, experts in their field, are saying you must do emergency surgery, and they refuse to sign the paper until they get the rav on the phone. So they dial the rav, and the rav is in the middle of shir, so he doesn't have his phone with him. So the Talmid who's holding the phone doesn't answer the phone, it's on silent. So the guy sits there, and who knows what can happen. That's the loss of self-confidence. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe warned us against it, and he was a Hasidic Rebbe. The Gemara in Yuma we quoted, and the Pasuk in Chumash. We have to have self-confidence. And if we don't teach our children to have self-confidence, then ultimately, I don't believe we will have a future. And I say that with full responsibility. And Rabbanim coming out and saying, if you don't agree with me, you're against Torah, are not doing anything but corroding that self-confidence. And in my opinion, doing terrible damage for the future of the Jewish people.